eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No!
The Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump.
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
Does this microphone week put up a little less fight than the one last night?
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Oh,
Mr. Dot Commer
on WEEI.com.
Podcast. Patriots fell to the Broncos 18-12 Sunday at Gillette Stadium. It was a frustrating game overall, I would say, for the Patriots. It was horribly played, I would say, for the first three quarters. And then thanks to Drew Lock and some bad play calling, the game sort of got interesting late. But in the end, it was not enough. Too little, too late for the Patriots.
Typical me, I just got distracted because you gave the score and I thought, oh, the game headline should have been the War of 18-12. But yeah, it was not. I mean, nobody wants to see field goals. I'm sorry. That's just the and it wasn't, you know, all this great defensive matchup. You gave up six straight scoring drives. They just happened to be field goals. Like
the Denver Broncos and Drew freaking Lock.
Right. Drew freaking Lock, who started playing like Brian freaking Hoyer at the end of the game and just chucking it up and taking bad sacks. Yeah, I the Patriots could have won the game, but they were bad. Like they just like
they
I saw somebody
really
I heard somebody like the defense was a bright spot because of the bend but don't break. Yeah, what about the fact that they let them just walk up and down the field? They ran the ball when they wanted to. They threw it when they wanted to. Chunk plays. Like, what was one of them? It was like 3rd and 20, and they had like
third
a 35-yard.
3rd and 21. They got over 30 yards.
Right. I mean, and it could have been worse. Stephon Gilmore got beat by the guy who just dropped it. It just hit him flat out in the hands, and he dropped it. It looked on TV, oh, maybe there's a pass defense there, and you see the replay, and you're like, nope, he dropped it. It got past Gilmore's hand and hit him right in the hands. So it's another one of those things, like if you're looking for – I do the thumbs up, thumbs down on the website. Yep. It's like Nick Folk gets a thumbs up because he hit two regular field goals. Like there weren't that many people that
there
played
not many bright spots.
Like even Cam Newton, his number – he scored a touchdown. His rushing numbers – he held on to the ball. He threw picks. He did not play well. I don't care what numbers you want to throw at me. Didn't play well. You know, they didn't run the ball with any consistency with Damian Harris. The offensive line was in shambles where the funny part was it was in shambles. You had Justin Herron here and Illuminor, and the guy who sucked was Isaiah Wynn, your first-round pick, who moved into guard, sucked there, moved out to tackle, sucked there.
Right. I would say, like, you're right. You moved all these pieces along the offensive line, and your weak spot was probably your second best lineman who played.
And oh, by the way, Joe Tooney had a shotgun snap that
went over.
Newton did a good job falling on for a whatever 15-yard loss or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just there was not a lot, and I kind of wrote that it all caught up to him, the 2 weeks and the COVID and the no practice and the injuries and all that.
Continue.
And it's the reality. But we're also in a – no excuses here. We don't make excuses.
No excuses.
The reality is Bill kind of made an excuse. We need to get together again. We need to practice. Well, you're making an excuse. You're basically saying you didn't perform well because you didn't practice. Whether it's true or not isn't up for debate. It is true. You didn't practice. If anybody watched on CBS, Trent Green and whatever the other guy's name is must have said it 150 fucking times. Like, I get the point. They didn't practice. Neither did the Titans. Neither did some of these other teams. And you have to put your big boy pants on and go out there and play. And the reality is the Denver Broncos have just as many issues. Like, all their good players are hurt too. Like, right. They have a young quarterback that, like, they can make all these excuses. The reality is they went on the road, drove the ball six times to points, and should have won easily. Drew Lock got a little squirrely in the end or whatever there, but they had excuses, but they found a way to win, and your record's 2-3. Their record's 2-3. You know what you guys are? You guys are the middle of the crappy pack in the AFC. That's what you are. That's the reality right now. Like, I'm not saying that's how you're labeled and you have to be labeled that way for 6 weeks from now or 7 weeks, whatever. Right now, you're kind of the crappy of the middle of the pack, right? And work your way out of it. Cam Newton said that. I forgot the exact word. We're not that good, or we're not good enough right now, whatever.
Right.
That's the reality.
He said it's not time to panic, but we also can't just basically roll out of bed and expect to win these games when we're not good enough right now to do that.
Because we have talked about this a little bit. Who's good? What's good right now? Who's good and what's good on the Patriots? Because I don't have a great answer.
Your secondary, but even that, they're giving
up. Oh, bleep that. I'm sick of them being like skating by on past performances. They're like the stock market. Past performances do not guarantee future success.
Well, to be fair, they made their fair share of plays, but they also gave up their fair share of plays.
Correct. Against some guy called Patrick. I don't even know his first name. Jerry Judy's good. Jerry Judy, I think, is going to be a pretty good player. Yeah. But that's a team without Sutton, their best receiver, without KJ Hamler, who they think is going to be probably like their slot weapon number two receiver.
Oh, like, Melvin Gordon, their best running back.
Right. And what did they do? They threw the ball when they needed to. They ran for 100 yards with Philip Lindsay. They ran the ball, more importantly, almost 40 times, like 37, 38 times, whatever. You don't win too often when you let the other – remember, what's his name with the Jets? Rex Ryan had the whole, if you run the ball 30 times, you win. That was his plan. Well, they ran the ball 30 times on the Patriots, and they won. So maybe he's right.
Yeah, like, I guess you could say your offensive line is a strength when they're all there.
What? When they're all there? I don't know. They're never all there, so who knows?
Well, they were there in week one when they rolled. I think that's been a strength, but, I mean.
That's a fair point. In week one, the line was there, and you rolled against the Dolphins at home in the season opener. Okay.
Well, other than that, I mean, your front seven, we knew that coming in was bad. The wide receivers are very disappointing. Nothing there. Running backs.
Yeah. Oh, timeout. The wide receivers, we need to get to.
Yeah.
So your boss, my boss, or half my boss, Rob Bradford, is all worked up that, you know, Devin Asiasi not doing anything. Shouldn't we also be worked up that your first-round pick wide receiver, who is now coming up on – so how many games have they played? Five, and he played eight last year. He's coming up on a full season of NFL action. You know me. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt until he got to a full season of NFL action. Yep. Today, he caught how many passes?
As many as me and you.
Exactly. 0.0. And, you know, Edelman wasn't much better, but at least Edelman caught two and threw two that he completed.
Well, I mean, to be – he didn't do anything until 3 minutes left in the third quarter.
That's true. So, while we're going to get ready to rip Devin Asiasi for being a disappointment at tight end as a rookie, how about the elephant in the room named N'Keal Harry? What is he going to do? Like, you could have convinced me he could have had one catch today and earned his paycheck if the catch had come on fourth down with the game on the line, and it didn't. It fell.
Do you think a true answer on that play? Do you think Harry messed up?
I don't know, because Cam's answer was interesting. First of all, he said multiple times, well, I knew I was going to get hit, like already making an excuse. And then, like, so I'm not sure. I don't think. Hello?
Yeah, you're breaking up, but keep going.
Jiminy Christmas.
Just keep going. Just talk.
I've seen enough of these shitty things on TV. Everybody uses crappy audio these days. it was never going to be executed as drawn up.
No, those plays never do.
And I don't think they were on the same page, to steal the cliche.
Yep.
So I don't know that one or the other necessarily did anything wrong, but I don't think they did the same thing. And that in part led to a pass that never really had a chance. It wasn't.
They did not have a chance.
But the bigger picture, okay, Julian Edelman's old. Julian Edelman's hurt. Julian Edelman comes off the field on third downs now. Yeah,
we don't have the snap counts yet. We will tomorrow morning. But it was the same thing. Probably just about 50% of the snaps. Maybe more because he played a ton in the fourth quarter.
But he's the third receiver. He's not a weapon. He's not a go-to guy. So, I'm sorry. Next in go-to guy line. Next man up. Your name is N'Keal Harry. Again, I say it again. Big boy pants. You got to put your big boy pants on. Remember, yes, somebody said that to – remember Larry Johnson, the Chiefs running back? Dick Vermeil, I think, at one point said, you got to take your diapers off and get out there and put your big boy pants on.
Yep.
We're getting close to that time for N'Keal Harry, a team that has no weapons. Suddenly, Damir frickin' Bird is like the go-to receiver, the only guy who produces with any consistency. And I said to you off air, I don't think he's very good. I think he's just – he's the guy that's out there a lot. He's – whether you want, you know, Rishay Caldwell, Brandon Lloyd, the guys that have come through over the years that have had, like, productive one-off seasons.
Well, let's just put – they ran 56 offensive plays, so he probably was on the field for 52 of them. If he plays 52 snaps, he's going to get the ball every once in a while.
And even then, though, like, he had the one where he got it and then he fumbled out of bounds. Like, yeah. I don't feel good about him. When the ball goes in his direction, I don't feel good about it.
He had that nice comeback route on the first touchdown drive, but that was, like, his only real good play of the game.
Right. I mean, somebody's going to catch passes. Well,
so I'm writing this for tomorrow, basically on the receiver position. Everybody's talking about, like, them adding a weapon. Like, why? Like, why spend some draft capital on a weapon who's just going to be the same that you already have? Like, I don't think teams are going to be trading away a number one receiver, right?
Well, I mean, Julio Jones, right? He's a good rumor.
He's a good rumor. That's all it is. But like,
even though he just signed a massive contract extension last August, and
but like these at the trade deadline, it's not like these, you know, big names get traded. And so if you're the Patriots, is it even worth trading for basically someone that you already have?
Well, if you feel like the kitchen is totally bare, like if you feel like you can put somebody out there who's
normally you're the Patriots and you're like the, you know, you're one piece away from becoming this, you know, top contender in the AFC or the next piece to get to the Super Bowl. Like, right now, you're 2-3.
Well, and that, I mean, that's what they are.
Right.
Like,
so what I'm saying
2-3 could turn into 5-4, but you're still just a mediocre team.
But that's what I'm saying. So is it even worth, like, giving up a second-round pick when you kind of want to build for the future?
Probably not, unless it's a, Bill would say, short and long-term move.
Right, like if it's a guy that has a couple more, another year in his contract or whatever, like, you would say.
Sanu, in theory, was supposed to be a multi-year addition.
Yes. I could see that.
But no, you're right. To me, the trade deadline that this year that I think they could be active at isn't about this year. It's about restocking the cupboard, just an ability to acquire. You know how Bill always says, you know, free agency starts and then the draft. And, you know, it's really there's a million ways to add talent. It's a year-round all that. That's, to me, why the Patriots would be active this trade deadline, not for the final 8 or 9 games of this season, but for this year, next year, the year, like restocking.
Right.
And given all the financial landscape of the NFL and next year's cap and teams in trouble, if you have an opportunity to add talent for draft picks,
right,
I think they should look into that. But you're right. Don't go into the trade deadline saying, yeah, we just need to add a piece to be. No, because you need 20 pieces.
Right. This team's not very good. Like, they're not, like, people, I think even the homers, like, the Fitzies and the Jerry Thorntons of the world, they're like, yeah, like, we just needed, like, another weapon for Kane, and then we're good. Like, no.
And a linebacker, and a defensive tackle, like, and a tight end.
Two weapons on offense, receiver and tight end, right. Right.
You need bare minimum, and I would say not, like, jag body guys at four positions. You need four high-end starters if you even want to say, okay, we've kind of filled our voids, and now, like, there's just so many questions, and that doesn't even get into guys that maybe are underperforming or whatever. They're not a player away. They're not two players away. They're a large number of players away. And that another thing we're going to get into is, like, Cam. Like, Cam's fine, But do you feel good about Cam, like, carrying you? Like, he's back 100%? Like, there's been enough bad throws, bad decisions, hold on to the ball that – I'm not saying he stinks. Like, don't get me wrong. He doesn't stink. But I'm not saying, well, you know what? If we give Cam a weapon, he's looked so good. He'll put us on his back and he'll carry us to the promised land. I haven't seen that.
We're seeing what we thought we saw in week two. The Seahawks secondary sucks. He looked good against that, but now he's facing actual NFL average seven from secondaries and looks like a quarterback that's just average.
Yeah, that's what I would say he is. And that's what he's a little better than I thought he would be, I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is he a top – you know, people want to jump. Oh, Patriots got a top 10 quarterback or a top this quarterback.
Nope.
Easy. I had somebody text me today, a buddy who said, is he hurt? Like, he's throwing funny. And I was like, no, he always throws funny. It's just when they're complete, people talk about, oh, let's do a victory lap that Bill fixed his mechanics.
Right, right.
When he throws to the other team and the pass is getting batted at the line, people go, why is he throwing so low? Is he hurt? Nope, same guy.
To be fair, the Patriots kind of said that. In Newton himself, I haven't changed anything. Like, people are just noticing me now. Well, yeah, you're right. You haven't changed anything, and it's not great.
Like, right. He
didn't even complete triple screen passes today.
And that's in line with who he is. He's a big, strong-armed, athletic quarterback with questionable accuracy. I said it to you. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Michael Vick had the same problem. Yeah. Ryan Mallett was a classic, could not throw a short pass, could not throw a check down or a screen pass. He would hit people in, like, the shins.
Yep.
And that's what some of these guys are. Now, he can still run. He ran well today.
Oh, yeah.
He ran very well. But I don't know that he's not a runner that is just going to carry them with his legs to.
Oh, he's not Lamar Jackson.
No. And even if he is, I'd say you'll get hurt. Like, it's so hard to do that. Like, Lamar Jackson didn't do that. Lamar Jackson had a defense. Lamar Jackson had tight ends playing at a high level. Patriots don't have a tight end. When they throw it to Ryan Izzo, you just give it to the other team. Right?
That play was so symbolic of how the game was going. Like, it was their best offensive play. 17 yards to that point was their biggest play. And then, oh, fumble.
Yeah, like it's just Devin Asiasi is a non-factor. And then there was another play at one point. Did you see it? I caught it on the replay. Might have been the Cam long run down the right side. He was like jumping up and down, celebrating in the background in like this really weird way. And I don't – it was strange.
On the field or the sideline?
No, on the field. Like, and I don't know what he – I don't know if he thought he made a block or it was very strange. The whole thing was very strange, but we said this all along that they're not a great team. So the games that would decide their season are Raiders, Bronco, right? So you beat the Raiders. Good for you. Right. You lost to the Broncos. Doesn't mean it's over. There's more of these middling teams coming. Right. The 49ers are probably a middling team right now.
Yes.
So, you have another challenge, like Cam kind of harped on this, like an opportunity, but he was realistic about it. I liked how he brought up, like, we can't just assume we're the Patriots and we'll fix this week because
right. You
know, we'll get all kinds of number, you know, the Patriots after losses and okay, just throw all those out, you know, turn them sideways as The Rock would say, lube them up real nice and shove them up your ass. They're irrelevant now.
Right.
They just are. So they, and Slater said it, you know, they have like an opportunity to respond to some adversity. And now I will say maybe, you know, we're seeing their greatest advantage now, everybody still believes, is a guy named Bill Belichick.
That's still fair.
Maybe you lost that advantage over the last 2 weeks because he didn't have his players. Like, so if you look at it that way, maybe this was beyond the talent and everything else, predictable. Give Bill 2 weeks time to prepare, but if he can't bring the preparation to the players, it's useless.
And then,
like, he might have seen all kinds of things he wanted to do against the Broncos, but you have a walkthrough and you don't have time to institute
it. Also, you could use this, like, maybe the Patriots got their COVID, you know, week out of the way, and some other teams around the league are going to get theirs, and there's your time to catch up. Maybe you catch a team on a bad time later in the year. Maybe the Ravens have an issue of their own before you play them. Like, that could happen too. So there are positive ways to look at it, but also – the reality is they're 2-3. And I would say back to sort of this game, like, I don't want to hear the COVID excuse. And like, I added some tweet on it on Twitter and everybody was like, oh, well, the Titans had the illegal workouts, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, no, The Titans, they did a good job. They fought through adversity and won against the Bills. The Patriots had their own adversity and basically fell flat on their face against the Broncos.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, those are facts, as people say.
People don't want to hear it, but that's what happened.
And this could change. Like, you know, Zoe said on the broadcast, I don't know if this is true or not, post-game, fifth quarter, that, you know, David Andrews had his pin removed from his thumb. You know, he's kind of ready to come back. That
you can come back next
so maybe
week.
David Andrews comes back, and then Joe Tooney goes to left guard, and Isaiah Wynn stays at left tackle, where he's been better more often than not. And right. then you, Michael Onwenu, it might be your right tackle with Shaq Mason at right guard, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is our line. We're ready.
Go back to what we talked about week one, running the football.
Right, because early in the game, Damian Harris had a couple runs that I liked. There was even one in the backfield where he a guy came in right away, but he fell forward and lost maybe a half a yard.
Yes.
I still like he had a nice catch on the left side where he broke a tackle for a first down. I still like Damian Harris.
He did things that Sony Michel does not do.
Correct. Yeah, Sony Michel does some things he probably shouldn't do if you read Twitter too closely. But
I guess I may say this for the weekly podcast, but how do you get COVID when you're on injured reserve? Like,
well, anybody can get it anywhere. Who knows?
Yes, I know that. But again, this would probably lead you to believe that he got it away from the facility and maybe was – you're right. You can get it anywhere. But
you can get it anywhere. My criticisms of Sony Michel are far more on his inability as a player than they are as to necessarily what he did while he was on IR.
Okay. Yeah. Where do they go from here? Yes, this becomes sort of a big game, I think, this coming week against the 49ers.
Well, they are under 500 for the first time since 2002 this late in the season.
Yeah, I didn't hear that or see that on Twitter after the game.
Everywhere. Did you also know that they only practiced twice over the last couple of weeks? That was everywhere.
I heard that a few times.
You go 2-4. You've dug a hole, and you still have some difficult, losable games on the horizon.
Yes.
So, yeah. In line with what we've talked about, the beating the other middling teams, this is a really big game. I won't say must win because who knows? Maybe the wheels fall off the Bills. I'm still not sold you can't win the division at 8-8 or something.
No, because, I mean, let's just look ahead a little bit. Let's say that the Bills lose, which they very well could against the Chiefs tomorrow night. And then, you know, you're lost. You're not as far back as you thought you might be. And then, you know, who knows what happens when you play each other in a couple weeks. Right.
If you beat the Bills twice, you're still probably going to have a shot. Yeah. I don't think they're going to run away with it to the point where they can lose to you twice and still cruise.
No.
So they're 4-1 now. They go 4-2. If you beat them, whenever those games are, that's two right. more losses, four losses. You know. Right. So you have a chance if you do that. But
if you fall to 2-4, and then, you know, I think you have the Jets in there, so that's a win. But then you're right. If you lose to the Bills and all of a sudden you're 3-4 games back plus the tiebreaker, that's tough.
And the Dolphins could suddenly be
in the mix, yeah.
Relevant, you know. Yeah. Maybe you're not looking up just at the Bills; you're looking up at the Bills and the Dolphins in the division. So they've had a tough week. I think this is a not that he'll necessarily pull out the old cliche, bury the ball, but this is kind of a bury the ball game in terms of let's just put these 2 weeks behind us. Let's hope. Monday, we go through a normal Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, we take a practice. We do a normal preparation. Like, let's hope that is all dead and buried. Now, there's no guarantee of that. We see that team to team, whether it's real positives, false positives, coaches. Like, it's the world we live in. It's probably going to be the world you and I live in again at some point because things, I think, everywhere are still, you know, as Bill said, day to day. Oh, by the way, I did get confirmation. Bill is correct on the 30, 60, 90 days thing.
Okay.
I spoke with a doctor who works in a COVID ward of a hospital, and he said all of it is sort of still unknown and theoretical.
Yes.
But there are papers and evidence and whatever that some people 30, 60, 90 days out are still shedding the disease or whatever and test positive, even though they're no longer passing it on or contagious or whatever. So I was able to confirm that that's sort of a legitimate thing and not just a Bill talking point that he used on our station.
I don't know if it should be a big deal or not. Did you find it odd that Newton didn't really want to talk about testing positive for COVID?
No.
I didn't either, but I thought he could have given a little bit more.
Yeah, but I can see him wanting to move on. Bill probably told them, although I saw Gilmore kind of talked about
Gilmore,
it.
Gilmore, he didn't like go in depth or anything, but he at least commented on it.
I think they were probably kind of told not to. Like, listen, we've moved on. Let's not delve into any of this.
Right.
And
sort of like, let's not make excuses for the lack of practice time, et cetera.
Right. And Newton didn't necessarily do a great job of sort of sidestepping it or whatever, moving past it. But I'm not totally surprised that they tried to, excuse me.
I mean, it's not really important. I mean, it's important in life, but not to the football team and to us in the media.
Right. Well, we're kind of past it. I mean, you hope.
You would hope.
Well, you passed it for those guys. Now, right. You might not pass it for everybody. Who knows?
Yes.
And those guys aren't going to affect moving forward. Other guys could affect moving forward. I mean, that's the unknown of it all. But, I mean, if you said to me, what's a bigger concern right now, COVID or how good they are? I'll take how good they are for 1,000, Alex.
Yes.
Well, because I don't think they're that good. I'm really no different. I just keep finding new ways. I got a little bit optimistic, I think, after the Seattle game. I fell in line with the moral victory crap and all that.
Well, even after Kansas City, like, they played well. You taught yourself into it. Newton would have done the same things that Hoyer did, and if that happened, you would have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily bought that. I think the Chiefs, A, have been kind of lollygagging through the season, and B, certainly that game. And I do think if Cam Newton had been there, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs are just – it's different. It's a different feel than what it was. But, like, the Patriots are – you know, wherever you thought they were, you were optimistic. You were home. You and Keith were like Homer Central. Oh, they're going to the AFC title game, and they're so good. But a lot of people thought they were between like a 7-9 and 9-7 team.
Yeah, I think I said 11-5,
which is high on the over. I mean, remember?
Maybe I was 10-6. I forget.
Oh, you probably were 11-5. I think.
I don't think so. That's very optimistic. I think I was 10-6.
You're just getting worried now because, wait, you said they'd have 5 losses. They already have 3 losses. That's why you're changing that. You're trying
to – Well, no, whatever. I think
– But more importantly, a lot of the Vegas numbers, there was a wide range, but it was 7.5, 8.5 in that range for their over-under. That's low. I mean, that's basically saying think they're a 500-type team. And right now they look like a 500 – when they play well, they can win games. But they don't have a margin for error. No. They have a lot of questions. And some of the questions aren't going to be answered. Like this idea that Bo Allen is going to solidify the run defense. I joke today, is he Ted Washington? Like, is he this like big, oh my God, the whole defense change? I just can't envision that. The guy barely didn't start in Tampa.
I know.
Like, he's a Jag backup and we're expecting, you know, for better or worse, Juwan Bentley is going to lead your team in tackles for the next, how many games are left? 11 games. But as I said to you, finally, I'm ready to become a geek. I want Pro Football Focus or one of these quants to tell me yards per tackle, where the tackles occur. Because he can churn out 12 tackles, but when they're all 8, 9, 12, he's chasing downfield. What the hell damn good are they? He had a nice tackle for a loss on one like run blitz, but those are things that, where's the fix coming? Where's the change? You know, Anfernee Jennings, he was out there.
Starting.
Do we feel good about it?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So
you just brought up something that we probably should get to because this is a post game recap podcast.
We
didn't even discuss them going for 2.
Neither of us really agreed with it. I'm a simpleton in that I always just extend the game, like keep my opportunity to be competitive.
Be in it. Like you would, like even if, because you would keep it a one score game, that keeps the pressure on the Broncos. Like they know that the Patriots are still within one score. Like if they get the ball back and score and get 2-point conversion, the game's tied. Like the pressure is still on them. The game, you still keep the momentum.
And what we're talking about is the touchdown they scored at 18. Yes.
It was with 8 minutes left.
But it was 18-9.
Yeah, it made 18-9.
And they could have kicked it to make it 18-10, yes, which is a one-score game because you need a touchdown or a two-point conversion. They went for two. Cam Newton got stuffed, and therefore they stay at 18-9, which is a nine-point game, which is a two-score game, no matter how many put it. Now, they ended up getting a field goal for like a 4-to-30-yard, 38-yard field goal, whatever it was, from Nick Folk. That makes it 18-12, and then they actually had the chance to win the game the last possession because they're down six. You know, you kick, you end up kicking the PAT to win there.
Right.
But in the big picture, just the philosophical question, if you go 18-10, I need the ball once.
Right.
That's, you give me the ball once and I can go tie this game.
But I also thought it took away momentum. Like you had momentum and like, yes, just kick the extra point. You're still rolling. Like you get another turnover, turn the ball over on downs. You get the ball back. You're on the score. You tie it up. Like you keep the momentum going. And by not getting the 2-point conversion, you just ended all the momentum. And the Broncos was like, oh, we're still up two scores. Like we're still good.
And it didn't really give you, it's not like it gives you the ability to win the game. Cause you go down 18-11. I doubt you're going to go for two on the touchdown you get.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to kick it and go to overtime.
But all the geeks and analytics, are, well, you find out what you need to have if you need to get two scores earlier in the game. Like, who cares at that point if you find out if you need the ball twice again? Like, that, the argument made no sense to me.
Wait a minute. If I kick the PAT, I know for a fact I don't fucking need the ball twice.
Right.
So I answer that. Is that the argument?
Well, the argument is you find out that you need to get the ball back twice with 8 minutes to go, as opposed to going for two, say at 3 minutes to go, and then not having the time.
What?
That's the argument.
I'm creating the situation where I need the ball twice.
Right.
Rather than leaving the door open that I only need it once.
That's what the analytics say. That's why I don't disagree. I totally disagree with it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I maybe I'll have to do a little bit more reading and we can talk about this later in the week and see if any of the quants or the analytics people can persuade me, but I don't see any way where I like that idea. So I, like, you create a situation where, okay, I don't get this. I know I need it twice and that's a good thing. If I kick the ball, I know I only need it once. Both times I know exactly how many possessions I need. One is two and one is one.
Right. That's
I'd rather have one.
That's why I don't get it at all.
Okay. I might need to look into this. Maybe we're morons. Maybe we're missing something, the bigger picture here. Because to be fair, Bill did it.
Bill, another question with Tony and challenge to James White play that could have been a first down that looked like a first down on replay.
And wasn't it right in front of him?
Yes.
So that was weird too. I wonder.
It was also at the point in the game where like you kind of like needed points, like you didn't have any momentum and you thought like this was your only chance to really get in the game, because otherwise if you didn't have those two interceptions you probably wouldn't have. So like that was a big play, and I thought like that was a symbol of like kind of giving up in a way.
But I wonder if he agreed with the refs visually, like I had the same view they did, I think he's down, like, and just didn't even really consider it a replay issue where no, I see it. He didn't. I you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like I don't know, those things you get a better look in a replay, and replay showed that it was a first down. And then I thought his answer after the game was weak when he just said, "Did you have any thought of challenging the play?" "Not really." And then something about, "Did you get a chance to get a second look at it?" "I just answered the question." Like, no, you didn't.
And it's not the same question. Like,
right. Right.
Like, we should just start asking, did Ernie tell you to go for it?
Basically. Like,
just flat out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you're going to have Ernie there and he said, like, he sees it, trust him. You've trusted him well. It's worked out for you in the past. You've been good at challenges. He's done a good job at that.
So maybe Ernie Adams is slipping and not Bill Belichick?
Well, they're both older.
It's true.
Right? We all age. We all age at some point.
Yeah.
You know, who hasn't aged?
Who?
Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, they looked pretty good against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, that was their first signature win in Tampa Bay.
Yep, touchdown and a quiet day. I mean, Brady only threw for like 170 yards and two touchdowns, but Gronk had...
Their defense played great, and like you said off air, no penalties.
no penalties. I mean, it's always good when you have the other team pulling Aaron Rodgers with like 8 minutes to go in the game. For, right. By the way, just total aside, who the hell's his backup?
I didn't know. I wasn't really paying much attention at the end of the game. I saw that he got pulled.
Yeah, but it wasn't Love.
No.
It's like Boyd, I want to say. Tim Boyd? I don't know. The guy subsequently fumbled and was diving on
Tim,
a fumble.
Tim Boyle.
Who the fuck is that?
I think he's been with the team for a while.
Like, why?
I don't know. I'm just reading the internet.
Have you heard of him?
Nope.
I've never heard of him.
Me neither.
He's one of the 64 best quarterbacks on the planet, in theory. I've never heard of him.
That's kind of unusual at that position, yeah.
And he's ahead of Justin Love, Jordan Love, Jordan Love, not Justin.
He went to UConn and then Eastern Kentucky. He was an undrafted rookie in 2018.
Ugh.
Yeah.
So, boy, they better keep Rodgers healthy.
Or Jordan, hopefully Jordan Love's pretty good.
We should touch on real quick as well the quarterback position in New England. Brian Hoyer was your third string inactive quarterback. So he swiftly went from backup to starter to benched to inactive to
quasi. No longer...
Yeah, we don't really need your services anymore, Brian. Not that it mattered in the game, but
well, and it's not a surprise to my eyes.
No, yeah. It isn't a surprise, but probably more
the reality that it actually happened. Yeah.
Yeah, just we have definitive. You know, you get to talk about these things that are definitive. Side note, in another direction, Gunner, a little shaky on kick returns today.
He had that one good one, but other than that, you're right. It was a little rough.
He had one that he was bobbling as he was, like, leaving the end zone.
Yep.
And I think that one ended up coming up, like, shy of the 20 even.
I think that they might have saw something on tape that they could exploit in the return game. And so, like, they had him running out of the end zone, which was a bad choice.
Yeah, it wasn't great. He does not like, you know, you see a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson and you're like, right. Ooh, like he feels like he's everyone. He might be like a cutaway or I don't really feel that with Gunner.
Not really. And then I guess keep piling on to these things. Jacoby Myers, what is he? Did he even play?
Yeah, that's sad. That declaration I made that he was going to have a better career than N'Keal Harry. It's still neck and neck because Myers does nothing to make no catches. Harry does lots to make no catches. There's still no catches.
Yeah. It's kind of it's bad when Isaiah Zuber gets elevated from the practice squad every week and plays more than Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, he had a nice game today.
Yep. And then even Gunner, I don't think we can look after tomorrow morning, but I don't think he had any offensive snaps.
I just want to clarify in case my internet was bad. I said he had a nice gain. Not game, not G-A-M-E, gain, a singular play. I want to clarify. I don't want to be taken out of context or anything. People wonder what I said.
Yes.
Game.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think that would summarize it. Cam Newton didn't play great. The offensive line didn't play great. The defense didn't play great. And they were lucky to not get their asses handed to them because –
they were lucky that this was still a two-possession game in the fourth quarter.
Right. I mean, so they scored on six straight possessions. If those are touchdowns – this is a historic ass whooping, an absolute historic. Now they didn't, you know, if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. So that whole thing, but
right.
They did score six straight times to open the game. And I saw the note. This is the first time the Patriots under Belichick have lost while not allowing a touchdown. Only the second time in his coaching career.
Yep. Not good.
And I think the other one was a loss to the Broncos with the Browns.
I didn't see who it was against, but it's
12-0. And I think it might've been Broncos, but yeah. So it was a rare game. It was a bad game, not rare bizarre. In a good way.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, no one. Two straight weeks where Patriots, or two consecutive games, not weeks, where Patriots games in the first half are just field goal fests. In a league where everybody else is scoring boatloads of points and scoring is up everywhere, touchdowns are up everywhere. We see all these games in the 40s to 30s. Patriots games are a field goal fest. So you got that going for you, which is not so nice.
All right, we'll do a midweek podcast previewing the 49ers game. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Patriots stuff still to talk about, COVID stuff. Hopefully they get all their players back. And then we're done with that stuff. We can do some actual football talk. Garoppolo, all those storylines. This should be an interesting week in Boston.
Yeah, we can do like the whole Who's more likely to be the 2021 Patriots quarterback, the guy on their sideline or the guy on the other sideline? Or Jimmy Garoppolo getting back to, you know, will he settle in? Is this a long-term return to New England? Lots of – that'll be good talk. Some of the fans will eat that up. They're getting – by the way, the fans are on edge. You mentioned it earlier, the Fitzies and the Thorntons. It's not just the super fans who have made careers out of having their head up Belichick's ass and all that, and Bill, we trust. The whole of Patriot Nation has – absolutely no idea what's going on right now, how to react, how to deal with this. They are fragile, as they say in a Christmas Story right now.
Yes. All right. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Peace out.